Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. I'm Nicholas. And we're in the Book of Job. When I left off, I was discussing an illustration that has really stuck in my mind. And I think it's something that any of us could use anytime, especially when confronted by an unbeliever or an atheist. And of course, the illustration is that you start with a few questions with your atheist friends who want you to join their camp, and they tell you that, you know, you're a fool, that you're delusional, that you have a God delusion, as the famous atheist has wrote the book, The God Delusion. So we're delusional, but they must know everything. Talk about a delusion. See, for them to believe that we have a God delusion, that means they assume that they know everything there is to know. So we need to question them on that point. Do you know everything there is to know, Mr. Author of the God Delusion, and all of his followers out there, that their only hope is dirt? Yes, that's right. They hope that they can live their life any way they want, and in the end, they just go to the grave and turn into dirt. That's their great hope. I'm not going to trade my hope for that hope. So I ask them the question, do you know, Mr. Atheist, do you know everything there is to know? And he might think for a few seconds and realize that what a fool he would be if he said yes. So he'll say, no, of course I don't know everything there is to know. And you go, well, do you know half of everything there is to know? He might hem and haw. So you can check him on this point. He might hem and haw and think for a few more minutes, and he'll probably end up saying no, because it's the same question, really. If you know half of everything there is to know, then you must know everything to know what half of everything is. But you check him and you say, well, let's just assume. Just assume for a minute. Let's pretend. And let's say that you do know half of everything there is to know. You know, that still leaves a huge hole in their knowledge, doesn't it? And could it be that my God delusion is the truth, but it's just in the half of everything that you don't know? And because you don't know it, you believe it's a delusion? So therefore, you must really believe that you know everything there is to know. And of course, then they bring on their arguments about how bad religion is, and how many wars, and, oh, wait a minute. What about those atheist guys, you know, like Pol Pot and Stalin and, you know, all of those guys who killed millions for their unbelief, their religion of unbelief, their atheism, their religion of Darwinism and evolution, yeah, many more. Mm-hmm. And of course, the guys that ran the Inquisition, they weren't Bible believers anywhere. They are just Neo-Babylonians, you know, with their capital over there in the Vatican. They're just pretend Christians trying to gather everything into themselves and control everything. So, but true Bible believers, they don't use force. So all of those arguments, but yeah, just throw it back at them. What about Lenin? What about Pol Pot? You know, they weren't believers. They believed what you believed. They didn't believe in God. They were supposedly atheists. The greatest thing in their life is what you want to put us all under, the state. And if your liberty comes from the state, then the state can take it away. I'd rather have my liberty come from the Almighty Creator. Well, enough aside there. And just I thought about that because, you know, the Almighty is answering Job these questions, and who can answer them? And you think about all these things. I don't know these things. I can observe some of them, but it doesn't mean I really know. You know, it's like I observe light. I know how it works. I know how gravity works, but why? What is it? I still don't have the answer to those questions. All we have are theories. Man is full of theories. You know, we observe, we come up with a theory. That's it. That's how it works. And some theories are lies, like the theory of evolution is all based upon lies. Sorry, all of you guys that believe in it. I believed in it once, too, because I grew up in the public fool system. Mm-hmm. And I learned all the lies. And then when I began to learn the truth, I had a mixture of lies and truth. And I'm glad to say now that, I have faith. I trust in the word of the Almighty and what he says is true. And all of the things I don't know, it's okay because he knows them and he's in charge. So anyway, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it. And Job answered the Lord, Yahuwah, and he said, behold, I am vile. I mean, before an almighty, pure, and holy God, what could we say? That we are vile. What shall I answer thee? What will lay my hand upon? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once have I spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further. Then answered the Lord, the Almighty by name, unto Job out of the whirlwind, and said, gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Wilt thou also disannul my judgment? Wilt thou condemn me, that thou may be righteous? Hast thou an arm like God, or canst thou thunder with a voice like him? Deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold, every one that is proud, and abase him. Look on every one that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. Hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold, now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth the grass as an ox, and lo now his strength is in his loins. Behold now Behemoth, which I made with thee, he eateth grass as an ox. Lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. He moveth his tail like a cedar. And I do agree here that this Behemoth would be the Brontosaurus, or one of those large lizards, terrible lizards. That's what dinosaur means, terrible lizard. And because what else has a tail like a cedar? And I do believe with Kent Hovind that, yes, dinosaurs, those great lizards, walked and lived with men. Lo, now his strength, and he moveth his tail like a cedar. The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring forth food, where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees, in the covert of the reeds and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river, and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan in his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. We're in chapter 41. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Now, of course, Leviathan is the great sea monster, because if you're going to draw him out with a hook, that would mean that he's in the sea. And I do believe there's this picture of a Japanese fishing boat that caught one here recently. And you hear about the Loch Ness monsters and all these. So I believe there's still these great creatures in the sea, the Leviathan. I believe that's a reference to them. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook? Or his tongue with a cord, which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook in his nose? or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? Will he make a covenant with thee? Wilt thou take him for a servant forever? Wilt thou play with him as with a bird? Or wilt thou bind him for the maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thine hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down, even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Who hath prevented me, that I should repay him? Whosoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Will I not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely proportion? Who can discover the face of his garment, or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open up the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another, and they stick together, that they cannot be sundered. By his kneesings a light does shine. I don't know what a kneesing is. To sneeze, a sneezing, a kneesing. By his kneesings a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Out of his nostrils go a smoke, as out of a seething pot or cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. A fire-breathing dragon, perhaps? Yes, maybe it's more than myth. In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves. They cannot be moved. His heart is as firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raised up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold, the spear, the dart, nor the habergeon. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of the spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like. Who is made without fear? He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Yes, and perhaps in the days of Job, they were still fighting off these large lizards. Now, Kent Hovind, before we continue in, let's see, which chapter are we going to? The very last chapter of Job. Kent Hovind has a theory, and it makes perfect sense to me, is that before the flood, because Job came along not long after the flood, definitely before the children of Israel, the nation Israel was born, because we see by his genealogy, his placement, the land of Uz, you can get into the genealogies and search out about where in history Job appeared. Anyway, Kent Hovind has a theory, and if you haven't heard of Kent Hovind, well, then you should listen to him. We do air him here, and you can look up and watch his video series, Creation Seminars he has. Creation Evangelism, CSE, Creation Science Evangelism. That's what it is, seminars. Excellent seminars. There's, I believe, eight DVDs in the seminar, and you should watch every one at least a dozen times or more. Something appropriate for all of your children and your whole family to watch. A very good educational material. I suggest it to anyone. But I learned through his seminars that that lizards, and this is a fact today that is known, that lizards grow as long as they live. They never stop growing. That's an interesting fact. Okay, it's like, you know, it's not like us. You know, we grow to maturity and then we stop growing. And most animals or mammals do, but lizards are a little different. And I guess that would include snakes. As long as they live, they keep growing bigger. That's interesting, isn't it? I never knew that, but now I find out, yes, that's a fact. Lizards grow as long as they live. Now, if you go back to pre-flood times, when men lived to be, you know, 900 years old, and that's the oldest recorded man, was 930-something, I believe, and they called him Methuselah, the longest living, recorded living man in history was Methuselah, and he lived to be 900 and some years old. Now, if lizards also before the flood lived long periods of time and they kept growing bigger every year because they never reach a point of maturity where they stop growing, well, then lizards would be terrible lizards, which is the root of the word dinosaur. It means terrible lizard, which means that they're just huge. That makes them terrible, a terror, if they're huge. And apparently that you have the Leviathan in the deep that grew, or may perhaps still even grows. They still spot these things. And that Japanese fishing boat, they have that picture of one they caught. But apparently they dropped it in the ocean because of the stench of it. They couldn't stand it. That's the story anyway. And Japan put it on its stamp one year. They had the picture of the Leviathan that this fishing boat caught. And of course, there are the rumors and of, you know, Loch Ness and other sea monsters in some deep channels. And perhaps these are also the Leviathan of the deep, which perhaps still exists today. But the lizards, going back to the lizards and the dinosaurs. So I have the belief, and I believe the evidence is there, that dinosaurs actually lived and walked with men, and they were the product of the environment before the flood, wherein men lived long periods of time, and so did all of the animals and other creatures. And being that lizards grow in size as long as they lived, if they lived long lives, they could become enormous. And then after the flood, we still see that the length, the years of men started dropping off to where we have it today, 70. The years of a man is, 3 score and 10? That's 70 years. And then I read in another part of the scripture where 120 years seems to be the limit of a man's life that the scripture says. So you have a man should live to get his 3 score and 10, and 120 years is the limit. And I should note that, but I did note it as I read it, but I didn't make a note of exactly where that is in the scripture, but that was my understanding. So I believe that lizards and dinosaurs are the same thing, except the dinosaurs, you know, they have the Brachiosaurus, the Brontosaurus. These are just different type of lizards that grew up to be huge, you know, basically. That I have to believe that. I have to believe that men hunted them. You know, this is what we're reading about here in Job. They hunted them and killed them. So I believe that they're real. But they did live with man. It wasn't millions of years ago when the sun, which is shrinking, would have been big enough to hit them in the head, or the moon, which is moving further away from the earth. Like Kent Hovind says, oh, I know what happened to the dinosaurs, you know, because if the moon is slowly moving away from the earth, well, then whatever millions of years ago, the moon was so close that it hit them in the head and they all got mooned. So anyway, that's kind of a joke. Okay, we're finishing up. We're in the last chapter of Job here, and we have more time than we have Book of Job left. So we'll finish it up here. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and repent in dust and ashes. Can't even imagine standing before the Almighty Creator and seeing him like that. Job continues. Well, that was that. I believe that's where Job ends it. Really, he says, wherefore I abhor myself. I see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself, and I repent in dust and ashes. And it was so that after the Lord, of course by name again, Yahuwah, had spoken these words unto Job, and the Lord said to Eliphaz the Temanite, so they were there, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for you have not spoken of me the thing that is right. So now you go back, you know, and that's why we have to weigh the words of these men, and we have to weigh them, whether the things they're saying are true or not. Not everything in the Bible is true. And here he says, you've spoken things that are not right to these guys. So we have to weigh their words in the light of that revelation. When he says, you have spoken things, you have spoken words that is not right, as my servant Job has. And so here he qualifies and says that Job has spoken right words. Well, here comes our break. We'll be back. After the news, you're listening to Cross the Border. So stick around as we close in Job.